translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings, to be controlled as he desired. And thus being very much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma and, slightly smiling, addressed him thus. Purport. The creation of the material world is not blind or accidental. The living entities who are ever conditioned or nityabaddha are thus given a chance for liberation under the guidance of his own representative like Brahma. The Lord instructs Brahma in Vedic knowledge in order to diffuse this knowledge to the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are forgetful souls in their relationship with the Lord, and thus a period of creation and the process of dissemination of Vedic knowledge are necessary activities of the Lord. Lord Brahma has a great responsibility in delivering the conditioned souls, and therefore he is very dear to the Lord. Brahma also does his duty very perfectly, not only by generating the living entities, but also by spreading his party for reclaiming the fallen souls. The party is called the Brahma Sampradaya, and any member of this party to date is naturally engaged in reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead, back home. The Lord is very much anxious to get back his parts and parcels, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. No one is more dear than the one who takes the task of reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead. There are many renegades from the Brahma Sampradaya, whose only business is to make men more forgetful of the Lord, and thus entangle them more and more in material existence. Such persons are never dear to the Lord, and the Lord sends them deeper into the darkest region of matter, so that such envious demons may not be able to know the Supreme Lord. Anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. Verse again. Tam priyamanam samupastitam kavim praja visarge nijasya sanadhanam babasha ishat smita shochisha gira priya priyam prita manakare sprishan. And seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings, to be controlled as he desired. And thus being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma and, slightly smiling, addressed him thus. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing in this chapter, hearing about the trials and tribulations and successes of Lord Brahma. So it all began in ignorance. Brahma had no clue what was going on. He was there in the middle of the darkness on a lotus flower, and he had no knowledge of what to do, where he was, who he was. And then he heard this divine sound, tapa, meaning tapasya, and he performed austerities for 1,000 years of the demigods. I was just listening to a class yesterday, and Prabhupada was saying about, talking about Lord Ramachandra, and saying how Krishna has many incarnations. He was saying the Manus are also incarnations of Krishna, particular type of incarnation, maybe not. Vishnu Tattva, he's saying there's 14 Manus in each day of Brahma. He's saying, so imagine how long a day of Brahma is. So a day of Brahma is so long, we can't even conceive for ourselves. And Brahma performed austerities for 1,000 of his years. So it's inconceivable how long that was, what an investment of time and energy and effort that was for Lord Brahma. And that was the root cause of all of his success. So Krishna had said to him, okay, you perform austerities, you sit down, you meditate, you control your mind. And that was the cause of everything else that's happened in this chapter. So after those 1,000 years of austerities, then Krishna appeared to Lord Brahma and he showed him the whole spiritual world. So we've been hearing about that in the last few verses. It's very wonderful. Very beautiful descriptions of what Vaikuntha is like. And what was the effect of that? That Brahma was absorbed in ecstasy. So that was the verse yesterday. Lord Brahma was overwhelmed with joy within his heart, and thus in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love, and he bowed down before the Lord. And it says, that is the way of the highest perfection for the living being. So it's a very simple example for us here. If we perform our austerities, do our job here, give what we can, sacrifice what we can, and then that will be the ultimate goal, that we'll see Krishna face to face, as Prabhupada would say. And we will also be absorbed in ecstasy. But what is the role of Brahma? It doesn't end there. Actually, this is just the beginning for Brahma. So now he's satisfied Krishna. He's showed Krishna that he's capable. He's able to take responsibility. He's able to control his mind and senses. And so now Krishna says to him, okay, you are capable of performing the duty that you actually created for. And it says in this verse, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings to be controlled as he desired. So now he's going to empower Lord Brahma to create the material universe and to populate it with the prajas or the living entities. But the whole purport here is describing that although this is one of the roles of Lord Brahma to physically create this material world and to populate it with living entities, that's only part of the mission that he has. Prabhupada says in the purport here that the living entities are nityabada. They're eternally conditioned or have been conditioned for a long, long time, depending on your understanding of our origin, whether we fell from the spiritual world or whether we were eternally a part of the material world. But anyway, we've been here a long time, probably. So it's almost as if we've been here eternally, nitya. So Brahma is creating a playground. He's creating a facility where we can live, first of all. That's what he's doing. Because if we don't have that, if we don't have facilities, if we don't have a body, if we don't have a mind, if we don't have something to eat, if we don't have somewhere to live, and all of the necessities of a living entity, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then how can you get out of here? I think it was Prabhupada who said, you can't preach to somebody who's hungry. So somebody's really hungry, their mind's disturbed, then forget about telling them that they're not the body, they're not their stomach. That they just feed them first, you know, and that's the wonderful thing in Krishna consciousness. We can feed everybody first, and then we can engage them in Krishna consciousness. So Lord Brahma is also doing that. He's giving us all bodies. He's dealing with us when we come out of the body of Mahavishnu. He is giving us all facilities. Visharga, the secondary creation, and that is what he's most famous for. But Prabhupada emphasizes this point in the purport that that's not Brahma's only duty. Brahma is also a preacher, and he's the head of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, or as Prabhupada calls it, his party for reclaiming the conditioned souls. So Brahma is the head of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. He is teaching. He is spreading this knowledge. He is the head of our line through which so many exalted personalities come, like Narada Muni, his son. And then Narada Muni speaks to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is speaking to all of us through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is actually Brahma's most important duty, that he's giving us this knowledge of who we are. We know that the Vedas, they emanate from the mouths of Lord Brahma. So he is actually the origin of the Vedas in that sense. And Prabhupada says that if we also take on this role of giving Krishna consciousness to others, of spreading Krishna consciousness, of repeating what we've heard, I was just asking Maharaj for his blessings to give class. And he said, yes. I said, correct me. He said, he's going to listen online. I said, if you hear anything that I say wrong, then please correct me afterwards. He said, you won't say anything wrong. He said, if you follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So if we just repeat what we've heard, if we repeat what we hear from Lord Brahma and his representatives and his followers, then everything will be perfect. And just as here, we hear in the verse that if you look at the last line, Priya, what does Priya mean? Anybody know? This is a common name, especially amongst Hindu families. Yeah, beloved, dear. I met one Mataji the other day. What was her name on Harinam? Nritya Priya Radha Mataji. Such a beautiful name. Means Radharani. Is she here? She's here. So Radharani, who likes dancing, right? Priya, Nritya Priya. Dancing is dear to Radharani. So she's the servant of Radharani who likes dancing, probably with Krishna. So we hear a lot in the end line of this verse, Priya, the beloved, Priyam, the counterpart of love. Prita Manaha, being very much pleased. Kare hand sprisham, shaking. So Krishna is so pleased with Lord Brahma for his austerities. He's very dear to him, he's very happy with him, that he touches him, he holds his hand. Prabhupada says he shakes his hand. And the last line he says, anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord. And the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. So we also need to do the same thing. We also need to preach Krishna consciousness. We also need to give classes. Devotees should learn how to give class. It's not that difficult. And they should learn how to distribute books. They should learn how to go on Harinam. They should learn how to lead Harinam, how to play the different instruments, to take part in the kirtan. They should learn how to, well, not learn how to, but they should take responsibility as well. So His Holiness Kadamakanana Maharaj recently went back to Godhead, all glorious to his disciples and all glorious to him. Wonderful example. And I was listening recently to different disciples' meetings that he had, and he was saying, I just want everybody, all of my disciples especially, to just take some responsibility in Krishna consciousness. No matter what it's for, just claim something for your own. Okay, that is mine, and I'm not going to give it up. I'm never going to give up that service. It's going to be mine. I'm going to do that. That's going to be what I do for Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's mission. So we should also do that with helping other people to become Krishna conscious. And it's unlimited market. As soon as you meet somebody, you can, you know, test the waters, just be nice to them. Even if you're not talking about Krishna consciousness, if you're not a brahmachari, if you're just like a grihastha, then naturally they'll ask at some point, you know, why you're going to the temple, and then just develop a relationship, give them prasadam. It's so easy. You don't have to push them. They don't have to shave their head and move into the temple. You just give them something. You just make friends with them. One day they'll come to the temple. So that's also very important, preaching, that we're just introducing people to Krishna consciousness. And then we take more responsibility. Yade deke tadakaha Krishna uparesh. That all of us should become a guru. All of us should preach Krishna consciousness. Where would we be if Prabhupada hadn't taken on that responsibility? Which is one person who's responsible for all of us coming to Krishna consciousness. He could have thought, nah, maybe not. Maybe it's too late. And then where would we be? Where would the world be? And he wanted his followers to do even more than him. He said, you have your whole lives ahead of you. I started when I was 70 years old, so how much can we do? How much preaching can we do? And devotees' experience also, book distributors especially, but other devotees also, that over the years we distribute books, then devotees are also made, right? Who was it saying the other day that they went on book distribution? Oh, it was Lokabandipuru. Lokabandipuru was saying at breakfast they went on book distribution, I think, one day, and they met Nilamadava Prabhu. And he became a devotee. So our pujari here, Nilamadava Prabhu. And I think, who was it? Godrima Bihari Prabhu was saying in a class a while ago how he met Govinda, how he met Gadadhar Prabhu. So all of these devotees come from somewhere. All of these devotees have come from a book distributor that they've met. Shonakarishi Prabhu was saying in class the other day how one devotee went out on book distribution a long time ago in Ireland. and it was a bad day. It was raining, as it usually does in Ireland, and nobody was taking anything, just, you know, when it's like that on book distribution. I remember some days like that in Hungary, you're going out and it's just nothing's happening. It's just peanuts coming in. Nobody's interested. And then he met one person and he gave him a book, and that person became Akhandadeepuru. He became the temple president here. So just one day on book distribution, you're out there struggling, thinking, you know, why am I even out here? This is just useless. And then you meet a devotee, you make a devotee, and he becomes a temple president. So it's not going to happen if we don't go out there and give people Krishna consciousness. And it's your responsibility. Nobody else out there is going to be going out spreading Krishna consciousness, giving Krishna consciousness to others. So the responsibility is on all of your shoulders. And we experience it. If we do that, then it's so ecstatic. It's so wonderful. I was in the cafe the other day, or the bakery the other day, and Pranabandhupuru was there. And I'm not sure what he was referring to. Maybe Sacred Street Party or some... I think it was a book distribution marathon, and all of the devotees coming together and going out and distributing books. And he was saying to the people working in the bakery, he was saying, if you don't go out, he said, we should all go out. We should all go on book distribution. We should all get out there, be on the street. And he said, if you don't, and all the problems in the world will be yours. Isn't it like that? Sometimes in our life, we're thinking about this, we're absorbed in this, we're absorbed in that. And it's like, you know, every single problem, it's like we're totally overwhelmed, totally on our head. I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've only got this much time, there's this obstacle, I've got to do this today, you know, I have to deal with this person or this thing. Nobody else has got such a difficult situation as me. And then when you actually step out of that, when you go on Harinam, say, or you go on book distribution, then you just forget about the whole thing. Ram Narsingha is fond of saying this, that when you practice Krishna consciousness, then you forget about that thing that you were really worried about. You're really worried about it, and you can't even remember what it was. What was that thing that I was really worried about? I need to remember what it was. You just forget. I can't even remember anymore. Lila Sukhapuri in Hungary was always fond of saying that any problems that we have, it's not usually the situation that we're in. It's the condition of our consciousness. So the real solution to different problems, not that we shouldn't do anything, ever, but often if in a situation, if you elevate your consciousness, if you improve the level of your consciousness, then the situation will be solved if it's a particular problem, or you'll know how to deal with it in a better way. Sometimes you may think, oh, I don't have time to chant my rounds because I've got to do this. I don't have time to read Bhagavatam today because I have to deal with that. But actually the things you're having to deal with are a result of your having not read Bhagavatam. If you read Bhagavatam, then you wouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. So our consciousness is very important. Preaching Krishna consciousness is vital. It's very important for everybody to have an experience of preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing books. My spiritual master always wants devotees to live in the temple for a few years and get experience of distributing books full time. So we should all have a taste of that. But another thing is also, this is preaching, and preaching is one thing. But it's one thing to preach. In one sense, it's quite easy. I tell you what to do, right? I'm sitting here on the Vyasasan. I can spout so much philosophy. I can appear learned if I repeat what I've been saying. I can quote some verses. Very nice Bhagavatam class. But what is it I'm going to do when I get off the Vyasasan? What am I going to do for the rest of the day? That's the most important thing. It's the acha. So we have acha and we have pracha. Last time I gave class on from this chapter as well, similar topic, and I quoted this verse. Acha pracha namer karaha dui karya tumi sava guru tumi jagatera arya. So this is Sanatan Goswami speaking to Haridas Thakur, who, by the way, is an incarnation of Lord Brahma. So he says, you simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world. I like these Bengali verses because they're so easy to understand exactly what each word means. Achar prachar nameda, of the holy name. Karaha means you do. Dui karya, you do both of them. Achar and prachar. To me, you, sarva guru. To me, jagatera arya. To me, sarva guru. You're everybody's guru because you're preaching and you're practicing at the same time. There's no hypocrisy. There's no duality there. Jagatera Arya. You are the most advanced devotee in the world. So what is that achar? Yeah, we should chant our rounds. No, we shouldn't watch TV. Yeah, we should get up early in the morning. All those nice things, all those good things. We should read Bhagavatam. We should be humble. We shouldn't offend devotees. But I want to take it a little bit beyond that. What is it that Srila Prabhupada said he hadn't accomplished within ISKCON? Somebody tell me. Yeah, right? And what was the percentage? 50%. That's quite a big percentage. Prabhupada didn't say, yeah, I've accomplished 90% of my mission and there's only 10% left to do. He said, 50% of my mission is not accomplished. So this is something that is important to me and dear to my heart, that we have these things. We have temples. We have beautiful temples. We have beautiful deities. We do book distribution. We do Harinam. We do Prasadam distribution. We're having Bhagavatam class going on every day. These things are happening. And we're training devotees also. We're educating devotees. Devotees come often when they're very young. I joined the temple when I was 20. Sambhanath Paru joined the temple when he was 17. And we give our life, we surrender. Yeah, this is the absolute truth. I found it. You know, this is reality. This is what I want to do. This is going to be my life. This is the most important thing. And we surrender and we do that. We sacrifice as much as we can to do that. If devotees are serious or they're in that situation. But then we see that many devotees, they can't maintain that brahmachari ashram throughout their whole lives. In fact, it's very, very rare. Somebody joins the temple and then they stay a brahmachari for their whole life. We have a couple of examples, Srinivas Prabhu, Tarun Prabhu, but it's very rare. I know so many devotees, I could list so many, who have joined the temple here at the manor and didn't stay brahmacharis. I could write a long, 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 long list. So they're devotees. They came, they found Krishna consciousness, they found the answer to their problems, and they surrendered, and they distributed books, and they worshipped deities, and they gave classes. But where are they now? And what has happened to them? And what can we do to stop that happening in the future? And not that they've all fallen away and they're not practicing Krishna consciousness now, but when you do move out from the temple, then there's a lot of things to deal with. Right, Niskinchana Prabhu? So just Niskinchana Prabhu is brahmachari living here, you know, full on, full time. He's still full on and he's full time living at the temple. But as soon as you step out of that door, so many things you have to deal with, just like lists and lists and lists, bills, responsibilities, so many things to do. So what can we do to help devotees? It's not enough to make a devotee short term. We don't want short term devotees. We don't want to invest our time and our energy in somebody, take time to preach to them and educate them and engage them. And then after a few years, they're like, actually, I need more, I have more needs than can be met within the temple. And we're like, okay, good luck. See you later. Bye-bye. Come and donate if you can. Is that intelligent? We're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're going out there, right? We're going on book distribution to find somebody who's interested in Krishna consciousness. One amongst 1,000 people. One amongst, 50,000 people will seriously take up Krishna consciousness. And of those people who seriously take it up, you know, how many people are going to live in the temple and really get educated? Because it's not the same. If you don't move in the temple, if you don't live in the temple, if you don't go to Mangalarti and distribute books, then it's not the same experience. It's just not the same. You don't know what it's like to give up everything. Yeah, maybe it's dependent on your consciousness, but in general, it's not the same. So who is going to do that? And that person is so special. They're experiencing something which is very elevated, and they can become a touchstone, like it says here, Tumi Jagatera Arya. If they're really practicing Krishna consciousness, they can become a touchstone and they can give Krishna consciousness to others. Just like Prabhupada took his early disciples, sent them, okay, you go and start a center. Get off the train. Go and start a temple. Go to the UK. Go to England, you know. Meet the most famous people in the world. It's, you know, they can do that because they're practicing Krishna consciousness. But if our only plan for them is, okay, for the next 5 years we can give you shelter while you're ready to give up everything, and then after that, then there's nothing that we can provide for you, then why are we're investing this time and this energy in them, and then we're just letting them go? It's not an intelligent investment. And it's not that there aren't examples also of how we can do this in a more structured and more organized way, like in Hungary. That devotees there, they have the Brahmacharya Ashram in Budapest. There's devotees joining, distributing books. And then if somebody wants to change ashram, which almost everybody will, then there's the farm. Then they go to the farm. And I've seen with many devotees that I know who were brahmacharis, it's a very smooth transition. And it's so smooth because they already know that that's going to be the future. Yeah, I'm a brahmachari now. I'm giving up everything. Shishi Radhika Kulananda Ki Jai. I'm giving up everything and I'm okay with that, and I'm experiencing the fire of Krishna consciousness, and I'm experiencing the exhilaration of Krishna consciousness and the ecstasy of chanting and hearing all day, every day. But I have faith that in the future I can maintain this long term, because if I want to get married in the future, then there's a whole facility for me. And I don't have to become an accountant. I don't have to become a bus driver. I don't have to go and do whatever, work in Tesco's or sell paintings or whatever it is. I can be a pujari for the rest of my life. Or I can be a gardener in the Holy Dharm. Or I can be a manager. Or I can be a book distributor. Or I can be a preacher for the rest of my life. And there's not that anxiety. I've seen so many devotees over here in the UK. It's such a trauma moving out from the temple. For myself it was as well. I joined the temple, running away from the fire of material existence, finding shelter. Here I am, and I take shelter of Krishna. And then at one point you realize, actually, I'm going to have to get back out there, and what am I going to do? And then you have to deal with your finances, right? You spent the last 5 years in the temple, 10 years in the temple. Other devotees, they've finished their university, they've started in their job. They're already earning 60K by the time you come out of the temple, and you're thinking, what am I going to do? So there, if we have such communities, there's this smooth transition. I'm a brahmacharya, yeah, and then I'm a grihastha, I'm still a devotee. I'm still with the same people, I'm still in the same area, I'm still doing what I'm doing, and there's not that big jump. But also, it's not just for the devotees, but it's for the people who see this as well. In Hungary, my spiritual master says that the biggest preaching there is not book distribution, it's not the Harinam, it's the food for life, and it's New Vajradham. And I experienced it myself so many times that when people come to the farm, they see a very practical example. They see, okay, where you're living, the house that you're living in, is much nicer than my house. You know, I'm living in some flat in Budapest or some house in Hungary. Where you're living is nice, some detached house. Your house is nicer than mine. This is how practical Krishna consciousness is or can be. Look at the food that they're eating. Okay, you're not going to Tesco's and buying your food from there. You're buying food that is grown next door to your house. And you've had you walk to the temple from your house and the fields are surrounding you. You're seeing the wheat growing up every week. You're seeing the rye, you're seeing the vegetables, you're seeing the cherries blossoming on the trees. That's the food that we're eating, or at least some of it, organic. It's grown right next to you. You just pick it and eat it. The food that you're eating is better. You don't have to get in your car and travel for half an hour every day. There was one Mataji in New Vajradham. She's still there, Raseshwari Mataji. And Shamasundari Mataji. So they both work in the nursery, in the kindergarten. You know where the nursery is, right? where the nursery is. Their house is like the other side of the street, which means it's about 10 meters away. So they get up, have their breakfast, walk 10 meters, and they're at work. You don't have to commute to work. You know, the nursery, you have a nursery for your children. You have a school for your children. And you have security. If everything goes pear-shaped in the material world, which it will do, and who knows when, then you have food that you can eat. You have houses that you can live in. You have food stored. You have wells there. You have a supply of water. And you have more land to cultivate if you want to grow more food. So where is the anxiety? What is the problem? We're not dependent on this materialistic civilization. We're not totally embroiled and immersed and engaged and dependent upon this materialistic civilization because we're independent. We have land, and land can give you everything. So people, non-devotees, they come to the farm and they are impressed and they're convinced because materially it makes sense for them. What to speak of spiritually? And I saw over there so many more people were joining the movement because they saw, oh, this is viable. Like, I was a book distributor in Soho for like 7-8 years full time. And, you know, going out every day, distributing books, distributing flyers, inviting people to come to the temple. And how many people come? It's very rare that a new person will come. And so rare that somebody will actually take it seriously. And why? Because it's, they can't relate to it. You know, what is it, a temple? Even that is weird for a Westerner, right? A temple of doom? What is it, you know, what is it, like something to do with Indiana Jones, or are you going to sacrifice me on the altar, or what is it, you know? Like when I first went to the temple in Soho, you get there and stairs going up. It's like, and then what do you to me, you know, when I get to the top of the stairs? It's not a shop, you know, it's not a youth club, it's a temple. It's like very foreign and scary. So it's rare that people come and they step over go up the stairs and take part. But when they come to a holistic community which makes sense financially, that's very important for people, socially, you know, in terms of education, in terms of health, in terms of food, then it's a no-brainer, right? Oh, that's better. That's better than what I've got. So I may as well do that. And they all like each other, and they've got like, you know, they're all singing and dancing, and they've got nice food. That's like an extra for them. Well, that's nice. You've got a whole spiritual thing going on as well. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted this, right? He wanted these farm communities. He wanted devotees to live a sattvic life, to live in harmony with nature, to be dependent upon nature, to be dependent upon the cows, to know what it is to grow food. Not just to know what it is to code. So we need achar and we need prachar, and not just in terms of our lives, but in terms of our society as well. And maybe this is out of the remit of the management of, say, the UK Yatra. They've got lots of things to do, lots of things to maintain. But we as devotees, we also need to take responsibility. I would say especially grihasthas, that there's many of us, especially in this community, so many devotees around here. Anywhere you go, Garston, Bushy, Watford, everywhere, Stanmore, Edgeware, so many devotees everywhere. You go into Tesco's and you bump into a couple of devotees. So many devotees, so much wealth. We've all got some money, you know. If we invest in our community, if we pool our resources, then we have to provide these things for devotees. We have to provide employment for devotees. We have to provide accommodation for devotees. Otherwise, we're just giving our money away. Like the Muslim community is much better than us at this, working together, investing in their businesses, the circular economy. We should learn from these other people how to strengthen our community, because otherwise we'll just carry on doing this. We'll carry on making devotees and losing devotees. And there's many examples around the world of communities where devotees can live, you know, on the property, you know, and just be full-time devotees. And it's a much better lifestyle. In New Vajradham, I didn't have to worry about money at all, not at all. I didn't have to worry about any bills, any cars, you know, no tax, no insurance, nothing. Just a full-time devotee. As a grihastha. And that's maintainable. Yeah, you can maintain that. Okay, my mind is peaceful. I have a wife, you know, I have a house. I've got a little bit of breathing space. Although it is, you know, a renounced lifestyle. But you have more breathing space. It's not just have it like a banana box. You know, you can have three banana boxes, you know. Or four. And a wife to tell you what you can keep in them and what you can't. But anyway, there's more space that you can maintain. And then in New Vajradhami, you see devotees, they're going back to Godhead. They're leaving their bodies. They're living their whole life there and they're going back. Radhakund Mataji, Prabhukar Prabhu. They live there their whole life, simple, you know. When you get older, then they're taken care of. Their money is invested, so when you're older, then you can be looked after. Of course, it's not perfect, but for me, it's a tragedy seeing what devotees have to deal with here in the UK after being in Hungary. And we have to do something about that. We have to look after our own devotees so that they can also preach. Gaur Govinda Maharaj would say that I preach to the preachers. So we have to serve the devotees who are going to preach. What's the point? And I can't stand it. It hurts me that I see that devotees come, okay, new devotee comes, and they're fired up. You know, they get initiated, and they get second initiation, they're in Saffron, they're fired up, everyone's, you know, getting energy from them. Yeah, but what about the one who was in Saffron giving class 5 years ago? What about him? And if you love this devotee now and you appreciate him, then what is his future going to be? And how are we going to serve them and help them to maintain that? It's not a cheap thing. We don't need shooting stars. And it's all of our responsibility to help devotees to maintain that throughout their whole lives. Anyway, I think you can tell that's something that's dear to my heart. There's other points from the purport here. Another one is that you may have noticed, there's a very interesting purport here that Prabhupada says there are many renegades from the Brahma Sampradaya whose only business is to make men more forgetful of the Lord and thus entangle them more and more in material existence. Whole paragraph about that, which is quite interesting. I'm not exactly sure who Prabhupada is referring to. It seems similar to the points that he's made before about there are many demons dressed as devotees in our movement. Interesting points. I just copied and pasted that paragraph and asked my spiritual master on the podcast, you know, what is this about? So it'll be interesting to see what he says. And then we also understand that Brahma is, ultimately he understands that the goal is Vrindavan. He understands that actually this is all about Vrindavan, and he prays in the future to become a grass in Vrindavan. But to get there, like I said, it's a long-term thing. It's not a 5-year plan. It's more like a 50-year plan to go through that gradual purification and advancement and stay within the association of devotees. Okay, thank you for your attention, everybody. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Tarun Puri?
This is an interesting class, anyway. Just some points, you know, like while you spend your time, most of us, you preaching for years as a brahmachari, if you just preach, and also don't make substantial steps to create your future, if you planning to change your ashram, then just preach is not going to happen. Or expecting that somebody else will create such a community. You have to start something, like how community in Hungary started, by blood of Shivarama Swami and many brahmacharis who are now grihasthas and much more. This is not something like, it's easy to preach. Of course, there are many austerities. We just speak, telling others or inform them without substantially taking also time besides that to substantially making very concrete steps to create such a community. Then what do you expect that community will do for you after 5-10 years? Like what you would expect now, for example, you move as a brahmachari out, what your expectation of community is, to buy a house, some income you have to create your own. So this kind of, which for me is always a vague thing, you know, like how community can invest in everybody's life, like throwing in the fire, although we are thankful for everything we created, but if you don't make, besides your preaching activities, whatever, substantial steps to start such a community like your Guru Maharaj, it's not going to happen. This was a very, very difficult battle to establish Hungary. Now it's easy to go there and leave, but it takes 10, 20 years more. So just some thoughts that we cannot just preach, and expect that this will just pop up out of nothing, you know. You know, I tell you, myself, I was in the farm here, although I never planned seriously to enter family life, neither I plan anyway. So for me, even if this community crashes down, which may happen, we lose all finances and temple is shut, I'll go out, find some job. If there is no job, I'll be homeless. This is not the worst thing. This is not the worst, because I don't want to enter family life. So for you, for those planning to go to this struggle to create community, you have to do substantial steps while you're doing your preaching. Do something concrete. You know, this community cannot provide that. I don't know what you would expect, but anyone who expects that community does for them. I mean, any comment? Any?
Yeah, I don't think we can expect. If you expect other things, other people to do things for you, then you just sit around wasting your time a lot of the time. Just one, two things I wanted to say on that is that, yeah, my spiritual master, when he was conceiving New Vajradham, he was saying we should have a farm, we should have land, because we're going to have lots of grihasthas. And the brahmacharis were like, who's going to be the grihasthas? And he said, you are. And they were like, what? You know, we're fired up, you know, we're like, you know, we're book distributors. Why would I need a farm? And he said, you do. So he did it. And there was no need, there was no demand for it at that time. And then, you know, many of them, most of them became grihasthas in the future. And they understood, oh. And also, it wasn't fun for him. It's not that fun for him because, you know, distributing books is fun. Going on Harinam is fun. Giving Bhagavatam class is fun. Dealing with nappies and, you know, men and wife arguing with one another and, you know, people's material demands. It's not much fun. But he, as a sannyasi, he was doing that and dealing with that because it was needed, you know, because that's the level that we're on. So, yeah, it's a sacrifice. Yeah, Premana Rapuru.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class. Very nice. Yeah, I mean, the driving force behind New Vrajadam and the Hungarian Yatra is Shri Ram Swami. And he still is. He was and he still is. And to me, it seems like the one thing lacking in this Yatra are spiritual heads who are willing to walk the talk, you know, because that's what we need. We need those in positions of authority who are going to be the example. And until we get to the point of establishing Varnashram, which it seems like is going to be quite in the future, it's not something in the near future in this yatra, we do need to just continue preaching and preaching and preaching, because the preaching is going to not only facilitate our own spiritual life and give us the impetus in the future to do the right thing, it's also going to bring other people to help us. Krishna's going to send those people who have the ability to have, because we may not have it, we may not be able to, we don't have the intelligence to establish Varnashram, but there's people out there who do, and they're just waiting to come to this movement. We need to bring them. That's why we need to continue preaching, continue going out, book distribution, Harinam, yeah. And then Krishna will send the right people. Krishna's not sending them because we're not ready to accept them. Like you said, but we still need to preach.
Yeah, in fact. We have to do everything. It's like, and that is the core. The core is Bhagavad Vidhi, hearing and chanting. The core is the holy name and Bhagavatam, book distribution, Harinam. That's the most important. That's why Prabhupada established it first, right? Do the most important thing first. Bang, you know, make devotees. And these other things develop from it. We have to distribute books. We have to do Harinam. We have to worship deities. We have to maintain our temples. But we have to expand on that and grow that as well. Yeah. Varnashram is massive, you know. In New Vajradhamma, you could say it's Varnashram, but it's a tiny part of Varnashram, one village. It takes thousands, you know, to have self-sufficiency. It doesn't happen in one generation or even two generations. It takes time. It takes a large quantity of people, you know, make your own clothes. It's a big thing, you know. Make your own buildings. It's a big thing. It takes time. So yeah, book distribution, Harinam, this is the core. This is the most important. But we should do more as well.
That was a great class. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice comment too. We should finish here because I've got to go to work. Thank you for your attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai.